Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. I have with me on the show today John Haller in Ohio, and it's good to be talking to you again, John.
Good talking to you again, Tony.
Yeah, crazy times though. It's not like there's good news to report.
I'm trying to think if there was good news. If I think of something, I'm sure to sort of, the corn's growing in Ohio, but it's blazing hot. It's in the 90s and very high humidity. And it's good for corn growing, but it's not good for much of anything else. We're in the process, Pam and I are moving over the next week to a home, mainly one of the main reasons, so we can be closer to the church that we go to. And just go out and, you know, pick a few things up or move a few boxes around or something like that, and you're just drenched with sweat. So it's I've always been in favor of global warming, but not quite to this extent. I don't like winter, so that's why I like global warming. But I was thinking about this. I listened to your show that you did recently with your friend. And then I listened to Mike at On Point Preparedness this morning. And the theme that I kind of came away with was it's sort of like apocalyptic bingo now.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere you look, there's something going on and something's not going right. We've got, regardless of how you feel about this virus, we do have places where there's spikes. The news reports this morning were that, you know, ICUs and a large percentage, around 35% of Florida hospitals are at capacity right now, and a large percentage are above 90%. And that's not a good thing. This is not usual. The other thing that I keep going back to is I keep seeing these reports and studies. Now they're starting to come out with published medical studies about the fact that in April and May, all over the world, there were these enormous spikes in deaths. And that's not, you know, trying to say, well, it's COVID or not COVID or anything like that. It's just that, you know, there are statistical historical averages of deaths per day. And these things jump by, you know, 300, 400, 500% for about a 6 or 7 week period. The daily deaths were way up from all causes. And so the question, I mean, there's clearly something going on. I think people aren't getting health care because they're afraid to go to the doctor. They're putting off medical care. They're putting off medical treatment. They're not going to the ER. People are even having heart attacks and they never call the emergency squad. A local nursing home here near where some friends of ours live, they said that there were dozens and dozens of ambulances that showed up at this place, at this nursing home. And apparently the word now is that everyone in the nursing home, and I believe it includes staff, is now infected with the virus. So this is an ongoing problem. And my concern is that if it's a bioweapon, that maybe they release the weaker part first to get everybody, you know, and of course, then all the lockdowns come and then it turns out not to be as bad as it was. So now everybody's going to be complacent. Everybody's fighting the mask thing. The county that I live in, if you're in a store, restaurant or anything, you have to wear a mask. The city of Columbus, where I work, at least until I retire, which is coming up very soon, has put in, you know, you get a warning, then it's $25 fine. The businesses, they get a warning and it's a $500 fine. Then it goes to $1,000. And people are upset about the mask and people are upset that you don't wear the mask. And if I notice when I walk, if I get a little too close to somebody in the store, you know, they look at you like what are you doing? What kind of evil human being are you? It's completely tearing the society apart. And the biggest frustration I have is when my iPhone has facial recognition, facial ID. And if I have that stupid mask on, I have to take it off or I have to type in the number to get into my iPhone. So it's just, but like I said, it's like apocalyptic bingo. So you got the bingo, you got the virus spikes, You have economic issues. I was reading a financial analyst friend today, and he was saying that stocks now in the S&P 500 are very expensive historically. They're in the 93rd percentile in terms of expensive relative to, you know, the economy and market and the value of the dollar. And it's some of the highest values in history. And what that means is that, you know, people who try to get returns for retirement funds and that type of thing are not going to be able to get those returns. They try to target like 6.5%. And because the stocks are so overpriced, you're not going to get that return on the increase in stock prices that they would like. And this is going to go on for what they will say is an extended period of time. So the economy is still relatively moribund. There's been some really good, encouraging news, but I have to tell you, you know, as we're moving, we're sort of looking online to maybe get rid of some furniture that we have or pick up a couple pieces that we might need for the new house. I have to tell you that there is tremendous amount of like office furniture and equipment and furniture in general available. I think people are having financial problems and they're selling their furniture. But office furniture, they're almost giving it away because people are downsizing and people are going to be working at home. So there's this enormous shift in society from, you know, being sort of an urban center based office building economy to where everybody's spread out. And people are, you know, real estate prices are dropping in New York and LA as people are moving out to the suburbs where prices are going up because people are trying to get away from the inner cities. And there's reasons for that. You go downtown Columbus where I live, there's a lot of buildings, and even, you know, over a month after these protests and Antifa and Black Lives Matter, these, you know, buildings are boarded up. Until the other day, you couldn't even get in the front of the 40-story office building that I work in. And a lot of people just aren't bothering to come down any longer, come downtown any longer. At the same time, you know, I'm getting reports from people that work in the Columbus Police Department, who have relatives that work in the Columbus Police Department. And this is a city, metro area, about 2 million people. So it's a major city. And they're dismantling the police department and they're killing police morale. And people are doing things and getting away with it. Like I'll give you the latest example. And now I'm trying to remember where it happened. I think it was out west someplace in California. Black Lives Matter protesters went in and spray painted graffiti on a wall. Okay, so they defaced a building with their graffiti. A couple came along and spray painted over it. They've now been arrested for hate crime and some other crimes. Graffiti on graffiti.
Wow.
And so there's this dystopian world that we live in and the cancel culture where people are getting, you know, I've heard of people being fired because their wife posted something on Facebook that the Black Lives Matter people didn't. And if you're not fully on board with the Black Lives Matter thing, you're in big trouble. The big reports today were they released it's all over the news, government loans, to protect the employment of people. You had to keep a certain number of people employed and you could get a loan up to, I don't know, I mean, in the millions of dollars for your company based on your company revenue. And as long as you kept a certain percentage of your employees employed, you qualified for the loan. And if you keep those people employed, the loan is forgiven. So it's like a free contribution to your business. So businesses everywhere, there's a big article about all the law firms that have applied for these loans and gotten the loans. But then the other thing that was released, and you can find them online, are the churches that got loans. So they usually the churches would be disqualified from getting the loans, but they put in a special exemption. So churches applied for loans. Now, the church I teach at and where I'm an elder, we did not do that. We could have, but we just didn't think that it would be appropriate because, you know, usually that government money comes with some kind of strings, but a huge number of large churches like Redeemer Presbyterian, which is was founded by Tim Keller in New York City. Ligonier Ministries, founded by R.C. Sproul. Shadow Mountain Church in San Diego, Pastor David Jeremiah. Willow Creek, Harvest Bible Chapel that was started by James McDonald until he resigned in a pretty significant scandal last year. So all these churches got in the, I mean, some of them got $5 million. Life Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, other big churches all over the country. The one that pastored by Tony Evans in Dallas, and I think T.D. Jakes Church, Stephen Furtick's Church, all these churches got in the millions of dollars from the government. So I'm not in Assemblies of God churches and organizations and missions groups. And so there was a lot of money, a lot of free money is being given out that's being taken by different ministries. So we can argue about the ethical or, you know, whether that's a good thing. I just don't think taking money from the government is a good thing because it usually comes with strings. But at the same time, too, you see a tremendous number of churches sort of what I said Sunday, bowing the knee to Baal or BLM on this Black Lives Matter thing and having, you know, adopting their agenda, which is clearly stands against everything that the church should stand for. Other than, yeah, look, we should all be against racism, but that's not what's behind. Just go read what the Black Lives Matter agenda is. It's not just against racism. It's about tearing down the nuclear family, abolishing Christian values, supporting all the LGBTQ and agenda. That's all part of it. And the church, it's just so troubling to me that I see the church capitulating to this. It's certainly, to me, it's indicative of the coming return of the Lord. I don't know how long the Lord will let this go on before he just says, okay, that's it. You know, time to clean this mess up. It's crazy.
Yeah, it sure is. And I mean, I guess those churches that you mentioned, by and large, I would say are apostate churches that have been selling out for a long time. And that's like, yeah, now they'll be in that pocket of the government, no doubt. Back on the economic thing, I see New Zealand here today, there was an announcement that the Tiwai Point aluminium smelter, or you call it aluminium in America, which is a huge employer here and uses the power of, I think, about 770,000-odd households, you know, the equivalent is going to be shutting down, and because they couldn't negotiate a cheap enough deal with the power companies. And so they're going to close this big thing down, which employs 1,000 people plus 1,600 other jobs associated with it. So this is the reality. I'm looking at stuff like that. And in a country like New Zealand, that's a massive thing. It's a huge, and it's a big shock to a lot of people. But I look at it and go, we are, I don't, you know, if people have eyes to see, we are heading, I believe, into worse than the 1930s Great Depression. This is the Great Depression on steroids where we're heading at the moment. And these are just signs of it. And then you look at the coin situation in America and using cash, you know, how I've heard from people all over the place that stores are saying we don't accept cash, or if you use cash, there'll be no change. And stuff.
I was out shopping and stopped to get a bite to eat at a couple of places today as I was out and about, and every single business that I went to that was open said exact change only. I stopped to get gas someplace and they said exact change only because we don't have any coins. And I stopped to buy something. I actually paid with cash. I was charged $4 and I had a $50 bill. And the guy goes, well, all I have is like fives and ones to give you. We don't have any tens or twenties. And I'm like, what? You're a convenience store. What's convenient about what you're doing? And I don't mind having the fives, but, and it just all happened very, very suddenly. So churches and businesses are getting millions of dollars, but nobody has any coins. What's up with that? But look, I agree with you, Tony. I think the situation is pretty serious. I think there's a lot of indicators that there are still going to be food supply problems. I hear about them from people in different areas.
So I got an email from someone who works for a very large food store chain in America, and he's an analyst. And he said if people saw the information he has, they would take prepping with food seriously.
Yeah, I think people need to get a month or two of food stocked up.
At least.
I mean, but look, you and I talked about this back in January, did we not?
Yeah.
I remember specifically we said you need to really start thinking about prepping. Now, it's strange here because I hear about shortages some places. I go to the store here and the meat prices are up, but there's still meat available that's reasonably priced. And there seems to be a pretty good supply of things. And so I'm not sure what's going on, that why Columbus, Ohio seems to be doing okay and other people are not. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm having trouble figuring it out. But the elites are pumping trillions into the stock market through the central banks and Federal Reserve. And if you look at the increase in value of stocks, which everybody says, oh, look, the stock market's back up. But to me, it's all sort of fake money. The stock value price has gone up almost exactly the amount of cash that the Fed has injected into it. And then the Fed is out there. They're buying everything under the sun. And what's happening is small businesses are struggling still. So in the law business, there's a big, I belong to a message board where lawyers get on anonymously and discuss what's going on. And one of the things that they're discussing about what's going on is that, their cash collections they seem to be okay right now, and they don't translate it. But the problem is that what you're collecting is the stuff you billed for 3 to 6 months ago. And so with the decline in the economy, when it's really going to be bad is 2021. That's when a lot of these things are going to hit the wall. But I stopped by a furniture store today just to see if they were open. We had a friend we saw a couple of weeks ago, so that's where she worked, but it's closed. It's going out of business. And it's an enormous furniture store. And there's signs tacked on the doors and windows. I bought 33 chairs. I bought a living room set. I bought a bedroom set. Please call this number. I need my bedroom set. And so these people have paid for these things and they're not getting what they paid for. And the business is just shut up, says, well, we're closed because of COVID-19 till further notice. So it's just like everywhere you look, it looks good on the surface, but when you start drilling down, there's a lot of problems. And then there's this giant, and I don't remember if we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked last, this thing that from the World Economic Forum, and now Al Gore's out there doing interviews today talking about we need a great reset. Well, what's that great reset look like? what's it going to do to currency? What it's going to do to people's retirement account and that type of thing. And it's hard to plan for. And now I'm looking at an article here from the Financial Times in the UK. Christine Lagarde says they've got, you know, 2.8 trillion euro asset purchase scheme, and they're only going to focus on green agenda items. So the world's falling apart, but the elites are pursuing their green agenda, their transhumanism, their technocracy, all of these things. That's marching forward like nothing's wrong. And none of this, you know, as you know, it's none of this is good when you get right down to it.
I think what the end currency type of situation is going to be is everything is going to have a value, and it's going to be, you know, probably weighed against environmental things and earth value. So, yeah, whatever this current, the US dollar is going to collapse. I don't think it's far away. It'll be gone. And there will be some sort of transition to this new system. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but I do suspect that whatever it'll be will be a digital type currency, probably largely backed by gold, but also other earth resources. And when you look at Mystery Babylon and Revelation, they're trading in the souls of men as well as gold and silver and fine goods and all of that kind of thing. I think, to me, this is what we're heading into, you know, the whole planetary citizen thing, and you have to be a planetary citizen and everything. You'll be given a value, you know, and everything else will be given a value in some sort of system like that. And the green environmental thing, Gaia worship, basically, I think will play a big role in it. Exactly how it'll look, I don't know, but that's where I think it's going.
Well, and you see a lot of other financial things going on. China is being very, very aggressive. There was an article today that China has stolen U.S. intellectual capital at a— I know it was. It was Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, was testifying before Congress. And so he mentioned that there were thousands of intellectual property theft investigations going on, and half of them involved China, because they're just stealing everything. And then I was reading an article from the Arab News from a couple weeks ago that was talking about there's an agreement now between Turkey and Iran, of all people. You know, so everybody says, oh, Iran is Shia and Turkey is Sunni and they'll never get along. Well, they have an agreement now, and they have essentially an agreement to establish trade in a gold dinar currency, because they're trying to get away from the dollar. So, yeah, the dollar's days, I think, as the reserve currency of the world, are numbered. I'm not happy to see that go, because, of course, that gives Americans advantages over other countries. So it's part about self-interest, you know, that I'm glad that the dollar is the reserve currency. So there is a big reset coming, and that's what people are talking about, and that's what the elites want. And then I know we're kind of probably running short on time, but I just read an article about the New York Bar Association. They have come out with a policy that if there is a COVID-19 vaccine, people should be forced to take it as a matter of law without regard to any objections or concerns on the basis of conscience or religion or concerns about the efficacy of the vaccine. That's the New York Bar Association, which is a pretty influential bar association in the United States. That's you know, because that's where all the big Wall Street law firms are belong to that. So that just was an article at the National Law Journal just this afternoon, and that's not encouraging to me.
No, that's a disaster. I mean, that's disgusting, terrible. It makes no sense either to force people to be vaccinated, because if people wanted to be vaccinated, hypothetically, then they'll be protected supposedly from the virus. And if you don't want to be vaccinated, then who is it going to affect? Only the people that aren't vaccinated. That's in theory. But of course, if the vaccine is the killer, you know, that's on its head. But if you were looking at it from their perspective, there's no reason to force vaccines because anybody that is vaccinated is supposedly protected. So why the heck are you trying to force other people that don't want it? Who is it?
Right.
You know, I mean, it makes no sense, but there's another bigger agenda.
I'm concerned as, you know, look, people can make up their own minds whether they want to get the vaccine or not. If it comes out, I can only say is, you know, part of my career, I represented a couple of big pharma companies. I won't disclose who in litigation over, you know, bad outcomes from people who were taking certain medications. And so as a result of that, I would have to go in and spend time at the pharmacy company and go through all the historical files and incident reports. And I mean, these things would fill a large conference room easily as to how the drug was developed and the testing and the protocols and then the side effects and the disclosed side effects and that type of thing and interaction with other drugs. So I'm sort of familiar with that process. And I can only tell you that that process takes years. And any vaccine that's going to come out that's been compressed into months, I'm going to have serious concerns about, regardless of what's in it or anything like that. The speed with which it's coming out is a matter of pretty big concern to me.
Yeah, they've probably already got some vaccine and then just prolonging this thing to make it look like they're developing it. I don't know. I'm totally suspicious of the whole thing. Everything well, that's going on.
Yeah, there was some report today that the U.S. government had poured about $1.6 billion into some company developing a vaccine. I didn't have time to read it. I just saw the headline.
It's crazy.
And I don't know who that is. So, look, we're not going back to normal. What it was like 6 months ago.
No.
I think those days are gone forever.
Yeah, I agree. People need to be preparing. I just think people need to do whatever they can to prepare as best as they can now while they still can, because I don't think the opportunity to do that's going to last much longer. But, John, the other thing is the spiritual aspect of this. People need to be trusting in the Lord and really, that's our only hope is in Jesus. I just don't think we can put any hope in anything else.
You know, I've been getting a lot of emails over the past month from people who are really concerned. I guess you could say they're freaking out a bit.
Yeah. Who isn't?
If you're not freaking out, then you better really be concerned. Because look, it's a strange world. I mean, I've talked to secular people at work, and they're like, "What's going on?" It's like nothing's making sense. And I think really, when we really get down to the bottom of this, there's spiritual warfare going on in high places, and it's manifesting itself in the earth. And so the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. So I do think, I have a friend of mine who is encouraging me and others to fast and pray. When you remember that story about Jesus, the disciples come, "Why couldn't we cast the demons out of this boy?" And, you know, they're told, well, some only go out by fasting and praying. And I think we're at that stage where we certainly need to be spending more time in prayer and more time in the Word, because what we're seeing is this incredible spiritual battle. And it's coming from both sides of this issue. I mean, we can complain about the left and all that other thing, but as our friend Mike at On Point Preparedness has pointed out, there's stuff going on the right that's as concerning sometimes as what's going on the left. And we don't know how all this plays out in the end. Does the Antichrist arise from the left, or does he arise from the right? We'll have to see. And we may be on the cusp of seeing that happen. But a lot of people are very concerned. I think people have, I don't think anything was done maliciously on this, but people have sort of thought that, in what they were taught with eschatology, they interpreted it as, I get out of here before there's any trouble. And now we see a world of trouble. And I will say, I've had some very heartfelt messages and emails that people have sent me about, I don't think I can take it anymore. What can I do? And the only thing I encourage them is, look, if you're, be sure you're in Christ, stay in the Word, and understand that, you know, there is a scripture that says, don't fear the devil. Okay. Because the worst thing he can do is kill you. We're to fear God, who could destroy both body and soul in hell. And that's who we should fear. So in the end, the end result for the Christian is the same. I mean, you know, some of us will die, some of us will be martyred, some of us will be raptured, and that sort of thing. But the end result is the same. We are with Christ. And that's really what we should be looking for, because that's where our hope lies.
And the other thing with that is, I think it's time to be courageous. I mean, when you look in the book of Revelation, who are those that go into, are excluded from the New Jerusalem? It includes the cowardly. It's like, now, folks, you know, these are the end days. We've got to take courage, be courageous, and put our hope in the Lord and not in our things that we own or our plans and our anything else. It's like, just be courageous. And, you know, when we get to the end, we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think if we stand and do things in courage, that's a really big thing. And then aside also from that, is just learn to enjoy the day that we do have, one day at a time. You know, what are the good things you can see out there in nature, and going for a walk, or like you said, get on the golf course if you're into golf, John. I'm not. But, you know, whatever it is, just actually take pleasure in, you know, the day that you have, not pleasure in a bad way, but, you know, just enjoyment. Because if we focus too much on the, you know, the bad things, I don't think that's good for us. But at the same time, it's like, be prepared, because we know things are going to get worse. And then ultimately, we have to trust in the Lord and just give it to Him. So that's really the end. There is nothing else. We're all going to die one day anyway. You know, right. That's 100% inevitable that everyone does at some point. So just, you know, maybe some are going to die more quickly than they would have otherwise. But the thing is, we're all going to anyway. So, like, yeah. Just trust in the Lord. Maybe John actually praying would be a good way to, right. You know, finish.
Yeah, if I could just build on that for just a second, though. But, you know, my wife and I have noticed that there's, you know, we spend more time together. And to be honest with you, Tony, there's a lot of things about our life. Some of the big distractions have been kind of removed. And I was talking to somebody the other day that something about spiking the ball, you know, which is they do in football when you score a touchdown. And I said, now, football, that was a game that used to be played. They had teams, they had stadiums on a field. People actually used to go to it and enjoy it. And we don't know whether any of this stuff is going back. And I do think, listen, God is, I believe, and I believe this for quite some time now, is decoupling the remnant believers in Christ from the world, sort of stripping that away. So I agree with you, but let's pray. Okay.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross was complete and sufficient for all time for our salvation. And we just pray that you will help us to keep that, the work of Christ and what it means for us and our salvation and hope at the center of our thoughts right now. We pray that you will make us strong and courageous in the face of what appears to be, in many cases, unrestrained evil in our day. And help us to remember that this is a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and that the destroyer of souls is active and trying to disrupt your plans. We pray that we will stand together in unity as believers, put aside some of our petty differences and arguments, and remember that the core of what we should do is sharing the gospel with a dying world and getting people ready to meet the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. Well, thanks, John. Yeah, that's true. Thank you, John. Folks, if people don't know the Lord, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if you haven't surrendered your life to him and repented, go to the A Minute to Midnight website. There is a great article on there about how to be saved that Brooke Ardwin wrote. And I would say go to that and read it and see what you need to do and compare it with your own life. So I would say don't put it off, folks. This is it. This is crucial times because things are, as John said, are not going back to the way they were. And we need Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the only real answer. So, John, I thank you for being on the show with me again today.
Thanks
I know
again,
we're
Tom.
A bit shorter than usual, but yeah, there's reasons for that today. So I want to say thank you.
Okay, and God bless you, and look forward to seeing you maybe in the near future.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
And folks, don't forget our website is aminutetomidnight.com. Make sure that you are following it and subscribed to our YouTube channel and iTunes channel. Give this video the thumbs up if you're watching it on YouTube. A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. Greatly appreciate people that do donate to help keep it running. Couldn't do it without your help. So if you're able to donate, that's always, like I say, much appreciated. The music used in the shows I've written, played and recorded, and if you want to download some of my music for free, you can also find that at the aminutetomidnight.com website. That's it for this show. God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days. Until then, God bless and have a safe week.